You're listening to an African Elements top news story for January 14th, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Somali TPS termination, the history behind a Midwest crisis. By Darius Spearman. The streets of Minneapolis and Chicago have become a battleground between state leaders and federal agents. In early 2026, the states of Minnesota and Illinois filed historic lawsuits against the Department of Homeland Security. This legal fight attempts to stop a massive wave of federal agents from occupying local neighborhoods. These federal moves follow the tragic death of a community member and a sharp change in immigration policy. Many families now face a deadline that could change their lives forever. This crisis did not happen overnight. It is the result of decades of migration, shifting laws, and a deep history of community struggle. Thousands of Somali residents in the Twin Cities are now caught in the middle. The federal government recently ended a program that protected them for over 30 years. As the March 17, 2026, deadline approaches, the tension between the state and the nation reminds many of older struggles for sharing of power within the American system. Understanding this conflict requires looking at the history of the Somali diaspora and the laws that once kept them safe. Somali history in the United States goes back much further than many people realize. Seafarers from Somalia first arrived at East Coast ports in the early 1900s. However, the community grew significantly in the 1990s. A brutal civil war in Somalia began in 1991, forcing many people to seek safety elsewhere. This conflict destroyed homes and lives, leading the George H.W. Bush administration to offer a helping hand through federal protection. Minnesota became a primary home for these families for specific reasons. Voluntary agencies like Lutheran Social Services worked hard to help people settle in the region. The local job market was strong, and the community found comfort in numbers. By 2019, Minnesota held the largest concentration of Somali Americans in the country, with about 70,000 residents. These families built kinship networks that supported new arrivals and created a vibrant cultural presence in the Midwest. The growth of this community turned the Twin Cities into a global center for Somali culture. Between 1979 and 2017, the state officially welcomed nearly 24,000 refugees from Somalia. These residents became essential workers in hospitals, transportation, and local businesses. They are not just visitors, they are the backbone of many local industries. Now, the sudden change in federal policy threatens to pull this foundation apart. Temporary Protected Status, or TPS, is a special legal tool used by the American government. It provides a safe haven for people whose home countries are too dangerous to return to. This danger might come from a war, an earthquake, or other disasters. For Somalis, TPS was first granted in 1991 because of the Civil War. It allowed them to live and work in the United States legally without fear of being sent back to a conflict zone. For over 30 years, both Republican and Democratic presidents renewed this status. They recognized that Somalia remained unstable due to groups like Al-Shabaab and severe droughts. In 2024, the Biden administration extended these protections through early 2026. This gave families a sense of security. They could keep their jobs and stay with their children. However, TPS is not a permanent visa. It does not lead directly to citizenship. It is a temporary bridge that can be cut at any time by the Secretary of Homeland Security. When the status is terminated, people usually go back to whatever legal standing they had before. For many, this means they become undocumented and face deportation. The current administration has decided that the bridge is no longer needed. Secretary Kristi Noem announced that Somalia is now safe enough for people to return. This claim is heavily disputed by human rights groups who say the danger is still very real. Consequently, the safety that families relied on for three decades has vanished almost overnight. The legal fight in Minnesota and Illinois is a reaction to a massive increase in federal police activity. In late 2025, the Department of Homeland Security launched Operation Metro Surge in the Twin Cities. They also started Operation Midway Blitz in Chicago. These operations sent thousands of armed federal agents into cities that have sanctuary policies. These policies usually limit how much local police help federal immigration officers. The scale of this surge is unprecedented. In the Twin Cities, the number of federal agents now exceeds the total number of local police officers in Minneapolis and St. Paul combined. Many of these agents belong to elite units like BORTAC, which is a tactical unit often compared to a military SWAT team. These agents are often masked and carry heavy weapons. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison described this as a federal invasion that ignores the rights of the state. The states argue that these surges are a form of political punishment. They believe the federal government is targeting them because they refuse to use local tax dollars for federal immigration work. Illinois experienced over 4,300 arrests in 2025 alone during these operations. This level of activity has created a climate of fear. People are afraid to go to work or take their children to school. The states claim this violates the 10th Amendment, which protects states from being forced to follow federal programs they do not agree with. The tension in Minneapolis reached a breaking point on January 7, 2026. An ICE agent named Jonathan Ross shot and killed 37-year-old Renee Nicole Good during a raid in South Minneapolis. Good was a U.S. citizen and a mother of three. She was not the target of the immigration raid. Instead, she was acting as a legal observer. Legal observers are volunteers who watch police interactions to make sure everyone's rights are respected. The official federal story and the video evidence tell very different tales. Federal officials claimed that Good tried to ram agents with her car. They called her a domestic terrorist and said the agent acted in self-defense. However, viral video from the scene shows a different picture. The footage appears to show Good trying to drive away from the agents, not toward them. The car was turning away when the shots were fired. This contradiction has caused outrage across the country. Renee Good was a writer and a poet who cared deeply for her neighbors. Her death has become a symbol of the dangers of militarized immigration enforcement. Protests have filled the streets near the George Floyd Memorial in Minneapolis. The community is still fighting for rights and safety in the face of state violence. Her background as a white citizen who died defending her Somali neighbors has brought different groups together in solidarity. They are all calling for an independent investigation into her death. The lawsuits filed by Minnesota and Illinois are not just about immigration. They are about who has the power to control what happens within a state's borders. The states are using the 10th Amendment to defend themselves. This part of the Constitution says that any power not given to the federal government belongs to the states. There is a rule called the Anti-Commandeering Doctrine. This rule means the federal government cannot force state or local officials to carry out federal laws. Minnesota and Illinois argue that the federal surge is a form of commandeering. They say the federal agents are taking over the streets and forcing local police to deal with the chaos they create. The lawsuits claim the federal government is occupying cities to punish them for their political views. This is a very serious accusation. It suggests that the Department of Homeland Security is being used as a political weapon rather than a law enforcement agency. The states also point to the cost of these operations. Local police and emergency services must respond when federal raids go wrong. This uses up local resources that should be used for local safety. Sanctuary laws exist to build trust between the police and the people. When federal agents sweep through a neighborhood, that trust is destroyed. State leaders argue that they have the right to protect the public safety of their residents without federal interference. On January 13, 2026, Secretary Kristi Noem made a major announcement that sent shockwaves through the Somali community. She stated that temporary protected status for Somalia would end on March 17, 2026. The administration is using America First metrics to justify this decision. They argue that the program was always meant to be temporary and that the national interest now requires it to end. This decision ignores the warnings of many experts. While the administration claims Somalia has substantially improved, human rights groups say otherwise. They point out that Al-Shabaab still controls large areas of the country. Drought and hunger also continue to threaten lives there. Nevertheless, the federal government is sticking to the deadline. About 2,500 Somali nationals who have lived in the U.S. for years are now facing deportation. The government is also using new technology to push people out. They have launched an app called CBP Home. This app is designed for self-deportation. It allows people to sign up to leave the country voluntarily. The government spent $200 million to promote this app. They claim it is an easy way to avoid being arrested and banned from the U.S. for a long time. However, advocates warn that using the app might cause people to lose their legal rights or be tracked by the government. To justify sending so many agents into sanctuary cities, the federal government is using a specific strategy. They are citing allegations of welfare fraud within the immigrant community. By calling the operations a criminal investigation into fraud, they can bypass some of the local rules that limit immigration enforcement. They claim that daycare centers and public benefit programs are being misused. Federal officials use these claims to send over 2,000 agents to Minnesota. They argue that local non-cooperation is hiding criminal activity. However, many legal experts see this as a pretext. A pretext is a false reason used to hide the real motive. They believe the real motive is to carry out mass deportations and weaken the Somali community. Studies show that non-citizens are actually less likely to commit welfare fraud than citizens. This fact suggests the focus on fraud is more about politics than it is about stopping crime. This tactic has a deep impact on how the public sees the Somali community. It paints them as criminals or frauds instead of neighbors and workers. This makes it easier for the government to take away their legal status. It also creates division within the city. Nevertheless, state leaders continue to stand by their residents. They argue that the federal government should focus on real crimes instead of using fraud as an excuse for aggressive raids. The situation in 2026 shows a community that refuses to be intimidated. Despite the thousands of federal agents and the loss of TPS, the people of Minneapolis and Chicago are standing together. The protests following the death of Renee Good are proof of this strength. People from all backgrounds have joined the Somali community to demand justice. They are protesting at the intersection of East 34th Street and Portland Avenue, very close to where George Floyd was killed in 2020. The economic impact of the TPS termination is also a major concern. Many Somali residents are essential workers in the healthcare and transportation sectors. If they are forced to leave by March 17th, local hospitals and businesses will suffer. This shows that the safety of the Somali community is linked to the well-being of the entire state. The lawsuits are one way that state leaders are trying to protect their local economy and their residents from a humanitarian crisis. Copyright, African Elements.